As many of you know, I just returned from a pilgrimage to Paris, Lourdes, and Fatima. 28 souls went, 28 souls came back, and I'm happy to report it's the same people that went that came back. Just didn't grab and make sure my number. I counted it 28 more times than I can count. It was a wonderful time, and I thank you for your prayers for us. Please know that you were prayed for at every site we visited and at every Mass and the candlelight processions in both Lourdes and Fatima. Your petitions were remembered. So what are you afraid of? There's an interesting question. Spiders, snakes, pieces of satellites falling out of the sky and landing on my head. We're all afraid of so many different things. But what is there truly and really to be the most afraid of? When you come to that realization, then you can realize who you are and what you are about. That coupled with the other question, what do you seek? What do you want out of life? Now, we can work on these problems on a number of different levels. I'm going to suggest, as I should in this place, that we consider it on the spiritual level. What do you seek? The answer should be simple: the kingdom. We believe as Catholics we are here to serve a purpose, to demonstrate our love and fidelity to God, to be of service to one another, to help one another, to love one another, to care for one another. So then, if we are focused on the kingdom, what on this earth can cause you strife? Do we want to start the list? I wished I had a dry erase board. We could go on for hours. The things that cause us difficulty, that cause us strife, that cause us pain. Again, thinking from a spiritual perspective, which are the ones that matter? See, we're reminded by Christ himself, do not be afraid. And then we contrast that a little bit with our first reading with Jeremiah. Some would say, oh, poor Jeremiah, he had a tough job, and everywhere he went, people wanted to throw him out, kill him, tar and feather him, ruin his reputation, all the rest. But then from a spiritual perspective, we have to ask ourselves, what was Jeremiah doing? Exactly what God asked him to do. Was it an easy task for Jeremiah? No, it was not. Everywhere he went, preaching about the kingdom, proclaiming the goodness of the Lord, people wanted to do him harm. So do we say, poor Jeremiah, or good for you, Jeremiah? Again, what are you seeking? Where are you headed? If you're headed to the kingdom, we don't worry so much about the temporal around us. Yes, you have to pay the electric bill. Yes, you've got to put gas in your car. It's not going to run on its own. But where is our attention? Where is our focus? Where is our mission? What is it that we long for out of this life? And that's to be with the Lord in the kingdom. So then what happens on this planet is just stuff. It's the stuff that gets in the way. Don't we wish we could be so like-minded with God that nothing on this earth bothered us too very much? And I will tell you, there are lots of things on this earth that bother me, that get in the way, that cause difficulty, that cause strife. And I have to pull back every once in a while, more often, I would say, than just once in a while, and say, what's important? Where are we headed? What am I about? What am I doing? Am I doing the thing I was sent here to do? Or am I busy about so many other things? That's an interesting question. Are you singularly focused on the ultimate retirement plan, the place prepared for you in the kingdom? Or are you concerned about your 401k and your retirement savings? Which is more important? Yes, we've got to get from here to there. I'm not denying this. But where's the main focus of your life? And how do we stay focused on that? We stay focused on that by understanding who God is and how much He loves us. And how much does He love us? He knows how many hairs are on your head. Do you know how many pairs of socks you have? Do you know how many of those 10-penny nails are left in that box that you have to keep just in case you might need them one day? No, we're not that concerned with those many details. But God is. God is so concerned about you, whom He made in His image and likeness. He is so concerned about you that He knows how many hairs are on your head. And if you're like me, it seems to change every morning. That's how much He loves us. That's how much we are cared for. He knows how many hairs are on our head. Wow. He's that detail-oriented, God is. And there's not just one of me, there are billions of us on this planet, and even billions and billions more who have lived before us. And He cares for each and every one of them just the same. So how do we stay focused on what's important? Well, having visited the Marian shrines, you realize that Mary was called to a specific task at 14 or 15 years old. Visited by the angel Gabriel, asked to be the mother of God. And as I was reflecting on that a little bit, I thought, how many other young saints are there? And then you look about at so many things that have happened in recent memory where some youngster has been put out in front to plead the case of an organization or of a society. And then you think about your teenage kids, how at 14 or 15 years old, they know it all. And there is nothing that gets in the way of a 15-year-old who has a mission. If they really want it, they're going to figure it out because they don't understand about being skeptical. They don't understand about the difficulties. They don't understand about obstacles. All they see is that one goal that they're aiming for. Okay, as Catholics, then who do we look to? All right, I like that idea. 15 years old, singularly focused. St. Maria Goretti, 11 years old, the victim of a sexual assault, refused to give up her modesty or her chastity because of her faith and belief in God. Stabbed 14 times, finally succumbed to her injuries. St. Tarsicius, 12 years old, earliest days of the church in the first century, is asked to bring the Eucharist after a mass that was in hiding because of fear of the Romans. He's asked to bring the Eucharist to those who are in prison, where there is kind of a chaplain there awaiting, because the Romans have known about the adults. St. Tarsicius takes this little bundle of Eucharist, holds it close to his chest, and heads off, singularly focused on his mission to bring God to those in prison. He's mocked, he's beaten up, and he dies because of the injuries he's sustained. 12 years old. St. Dominic Savio died a young death. St. Therese Lisieux died a young death. Blessed Jose Luis Sanchez, 1928, asked to renounce his faith and refused to do it and was put to death. Two of the young saints from Fatima, St. Jacinta and San Francisco, both died, 110, 111, believing in what they saw in the miracle of Our Lady, who told them to pray the rosary, return to their son. They kept those secrets close in their heart. They didn't know how important the message was, but they believed. How much do we believe? Are we singularly focused on God? Are we singularly focused on the kingdom and doing everything we can to get there? Or are we letting the stuff of the world get in the way? And here's where St. Paul comes in. He reminds us that Adam and Eve were put on this earth to give company to God. God did not need to create them. He wanted to create them that he might share with them. And we also don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before that one fateful meal of the fruit of the tree. We don't know if it was days, weeks, months, a century. We don't know. We do know that it changed the trajectory. Through that sin of these humans, that sin needed to be fixed, to be rectified, to be made whole. From Adam to Moses, they didn't know about God so much. The law was presented to them. We have the law now. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, that guide to great living, that guide to being a child of God, that helps us stay focused on what's important. Jesus Christ came to redeem us. He came to show us the way. His life was not without challenges or difficulties either. Living in a small town in a backwoods area of the Roman Empire, living under the oppression of Roman rule, was difficult. It was challenging. It was tough life. And goodness knows the last few days on this planet were very difficult for him. But he knew what he was about. He knew what he needed to do. He knew that his passion, death, and resurrection would be the saving grace for each and every one of us, so that we might live and not be afraid. We're asked to not be afraid of the corporal, the things of this earth. We're asked to be aware that we should be singularly focused on the kingdom and pay attention to the ultimate goal, spending eternity with the Lord. The stuff that comes and goes every day is going to come and go. The kingdom is permanent. Everything on this world is temporary. So we stay focused. We say our prayers. We do the things that we are called to do, to care for one another, to be compassionate, to be loving, to be merciful, to show our love of God through our actions with each other. And in that, we can stay singularly focused. We can know what's important and always orient our lives to the greater good, to the kingdom of God.